Fans, it's great to have you back with us as we get ready for Giants baseball. On this Sunday morning, we really have a very interesting book. It's a lot of fun. And you know I enjoy books that you can just pick up and read at any moment. And this is one of them. It's called Baseball's Most Bizarre Plays, a roster of the odd, the improbable, and the downright confounding in Major League history. The author is Alan Hirsch. Alan is a man after my own heart, chair of the Justice and Law Studies program at Williams College. He's written numerous books and been published in the L.A. Times, the Washington Post, and the Village Voice. Among many others, he lives in Williamstown, Massachusetts. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about the book before we bring Alan on, and this is from the back cover. Baseball has produced some notably strange plays, yet there have been many that defy belief, beginning with Todd Frazier tricking umpires into calling an out with a rubber ball and culminating in Al, the mad Hungarian, we've had him on the show, Hrabowski, pitching into a scrum of two batters and a manager at home plate. This book describes the 150 most bizarre plays in the history of the game. Base runners going in the wrong direction, outfielders kicking the ball, three runners meeting at one base, two balls in play, players ejected for dancing, and many other anomalies are presented with detailed commentary on the play. And I just picked up the book, and I just, as I was waiting to talk to Alan, and there was the play of Terry Mulholland throwing his glove with the ball to first base for the Giants. I'll never forget that. So those are the kinds of things in the book. So with that in mind, we bring in Alan Hirsch, H-I-R-S-C-H. It's a McFarland book. And Alan, we're happy to have you part of the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Marty.
Was that a good opening statement for me?
Beautiful.
Okay. All right. I've done a few of them. All right.
Yeah, sounds like it. I can tell.
All right. Well, tell us about the book. Why a book about baseball's most bizarre plays? How did you come up with that?
You know, Marty, I'm one of those people who's always believed that baseball's most underrated quality is the sheer wackiness that it sometimes exhibits. And you get plays with broken bats and fences and fans and occasionally even animals and obviously umpires. And I wanted to explore whether this is just an impression I have that baseball is wackier than all other sports or whether it's actually true. And to some extent, that was just an excuse to do a deep dive into the coolest plays ever for the sheer fun of it. And I have to tell you, I originally envisioned the top 100 plays of all time, but I simply couldn't keep it under 150. There's so much fabulous stuff, as you know from a lifetime of watching baseball.
Well, the thing I like about the book, and, you know, you do a great play-by-play of the play and how weird the play was. Then you do a comment about it, giving some of the history of the players, how the play was called by the umpires, and the background sort of what happened to explain that play. So I like the technique. How did you come up with that?
Well, I decided that just doing the plays wouldn't be enough. You know, some of them are on YouTube, although a great many aren't. So there had to be more to the book than just the greatest plays ever. And what do baseball fans love more than plays? They love history, lore, trivia, arguments. So I just decided to weave all of that, you know, a book that had just about everything I've ever enjoyed about baseball between two covers.
Boy, you know, it's a lot of fun, is the trapped ball. And that is could happen in the outfield. And then the argument happens between the outfielder and the umpire. And then the runner, the batter, keeps running. And all of a sudden, the outfielder realizes, hey, the play is still alive. And they've got to throw the ball to the plate. And sometimes they get an out. And sometimes someone gets an inside-the-park home run. And you had a few of those in there. I like that one.
And the beauty is sometimes you have three runners, two umpires who call it differently. And so you've got six or seven people involved scratching their heads, and then you got a couple coaches who are trying to direct traffic amidst all that chaos. And, yeah, so there are a few examples like that where it's almost impossible to describe what happened, but it actually happened.
Well, one of the plays that I remember, and I think most fans who followed the game in 1980, the Houston Astros and Phillies in the playoff game, and there was runners on base, and the ball was hit back to the mound. and it looked like Vern Rule caught the ball. Maybe he didn't catch the ball.
Mm-hmm.
The umpires came up with different decisions. Runners are running all over the place. And it really was a critical part of baseball and that playoff, and only because they manager appealed to sort of the league president or something that they sort of figured out an improbable ending. Tell us a little bit about that one, because it's a good story.
Well, so the beauty of that is just what you said. You end up with a conference with both managers and the team, the league president, and six umpires, all behind home plate. And this is, as you say, on a ball where Rule either did or didn't trap it, and runners keep running based on the umpire saying that the ball's in play, but another umpire actually said it was caught. And my favorite aspect of this play is both teams put the game immediately under protest. The umpires sort of compromised with a double play, no triple play, and not just one out. And that didn't satisfy anybody.
No, it should have been a triple play or not a triple play, and they ended up making it a double play because the umpire had deceived the runner, and that was the way they...
Exactly. Well, this is something it takes an attorney to appreciate. They kind of claimed that there was reliance by the runner on one of the umpire's calls, but it really smacked of a compromise.
Yeah, it did, and Doug Harvey, of course, was part of it. It was, you know, they called him God. and Doug Harvey was part of it. But it's good. It's a lot of fun to read about it and to recall the play. Alan Hirsch is the author, H-I-R-S-C-H. We always promote our local bookstores, the Book Tree up in Montclair. David can get this one for you, but it is a McFarland book. Your craziest play, let's say, the most bizarre play in baseball history, do you have one that kind of stands out for you?
Well, you know, I don't want to spoil number one for your readers. So, you know, I guess, can I just whet their appetite a little bit?
Sure.
Okay. So this is a play where you actually have a pitcher making a pitch with five people crowded around home plate. And a bit of a spoiler alert, you alluded to it when you were reading the back cover, but I don't want to say much more than that. We're not talking about before the game, an exhibition, between innings, after the game. This is during the game, an actual pitch by the pitcher, and you had five people crowding home plate. And then it results in a bench-emptying brawl, and I'm going to stick my neck out. You know, you can't get baseball fans to agree about anything, but I think, Marty, that no one is going to argue with me that really thinks about it and goes and watches this play. You can get a grainy version on YouTube. I don't think anyone's going to argue that this was the craziest play in baseball history, even though there were so many great candidates.
All right, this is Al Hrabowski, the one I talked about earlier, the mad Hungarian who we've had on the show a number of times, and he actually grew up in Walnut Creek, California, in the early years of his life. So, all right, that's one I'll look up and see what it looks like. You talk about Willie Mays a little bit and some of his base running exploits. And, again, I love the description, and it may be two, three, four paragraphs of the description of Willie and being, you know, being in a pickle and back and forth and how he got out of it with Cepeda coming to second base. It sounds like the Danny Kaye song, and Frank Howard bunted, you know, the old Danny Kaye song about the Dodgers. But talk about Willie a little bit and some of his exploits that got into the book.
Right. So the play you're referring to is, I rank it number 41 of the most bizarre play of all time. It is him and Orlando Cepeda on the base pass. They meet at second base, and then they both, you know, when guys end up at the same base, it's kind of embarrassing. You know, they're both going to be tagged, and at least one of them's going to be out. So they just simultaneously sped in different directions. Mays towards third, Cepeda back towards first. And in the meantime, Mays gets caught in the rundown for the second time on the play between second and third. But all's well that ends well, and I think that one ended okay for the Giants. That's a case where the commentary, I end up getting into Mays' famous catch, because how do you write about Willie Mays and not talk about the catch in the 1954 World Series off of Vic Wirtz? And one of the things I point out is the catch was not regarded as the greatest catch of all time at the time. So to some extent, there's just been an urban legend has been built around it. But my favorite aspect of the play is the pitcher, Don Little, for the Giants, actually came in to pitch just to face the one batter, Wirtz. he gives up this mortar shot, you know, as you know, 450 feet from home plate. Mays makes the over-the-shoulder catch. Don Little comes in. He's taken out of the game after that, and he calmly says, I got my man.
Yeah, and ended up, if I'm not mistaken, Don Little's son ended up with Willie's glove that play. If I'm not right, I think I'm right about that. You know, another play that comes up a lot that, you know, gets to be a bizarre thing. Anything that sort of stops the game, the flow of the game, and gives you a choice of what to do. And one is catcher's interference. You know, you could take the play. You know, if I tip your glove and then hit the ball out of the park, I could take the home run, can't I?
Yeah, that's something nobody knows. You think it's catcher's interference, the play, ball is dead, play stops. But actually, the offensive team, this is the one way in which baseball resembles football. They're allowed to decline the penalty. And I've got a play or two where you actually have a home run on catcher's interference. Another time there's a triple. And, you know, you just can't make this stuff up, Marty. That's why I love it so much. It really is. Baseball has more imagination than human beings do.
It's a lot. No, the book is a lot of fun. I really mean it. I like the way it's set up where you give the play itself and a good description of it. Then your comment is kind of the fan's comment in a way and a historical comment. I like it a lot. You know, one of the craziest plays that I remember reading about growing up involved the old Brooklyn Dodgers, when they ended up with three runners on third base. And, you know, Babe Herman was involved in that. And, you know, they always say, you know, the Dodgers had bases loaded. Yeah, but it was on third base. They all were there.
That's right. What happens is you had the runner on third holding up, thinking the ball is going to be caught, or rather the runner on second. Same with the runner on first, and Babe Herman just not holding up at all. He just put his head down, put it into fifth gear, and ends up joining his teammates at third base. And then you get a lot of urban legends about what happens after that. And, of course, that reminds me, one of my personal favorites is fairly similar. It's Marv Fromberry hits a triple.
Oh,
and
this is a
he's
good one.
Called out for on an appeal play for missing first base. And as Casey Stengel's charging out to argue the call, his third base coach intercepts him and says, Casey, don't bother. He missed second also.
I love that. That's the lovable Mets with Marv Thornberry. That's always a good one. How about Ruben Rivera and his run around the bases? Do you have that in mind?
Of course, you're a good Giant fan that you are. You remember this play, which the great announcer John Miller, I'm sure you've crossed paths with, he made this play famous by in real time declaring that what Rivera did was the worst base running of all time. This was a play in which Rivera had rounded second, heading towards third. He started at first on a single, thought mistakenly that the ball was caught. So he took a shortcut back to first base, cutting through the diamond. And, of course, you're not allowed to do that. And I guess the coach called his attention to it. So he retraces his steps. And he gets out of all of this, he ends up lucky. He gets into third base, and he's going to make it because of some errant defense. And then the throw hits him, and he gets up, and he tries to run home, and he's thrown out by a mile. So John Miller calling it the worst base running in the history of the game was a kind of justified call on his part.
Maybe the greatest John Miller call ever, really. And you talk to Ron Wotus or any of the people involved. In fact, I'm going to bring that up to Woe on one of our shows, the Ruben Rivera run around the bases. That's a good one. You know, another, and again, Alan Hirsch, we could go on and on about some of these plays, and it's all in the book. One of the plays that creates a lot of interesting bizarreness is that third strike that maybe is in the dirt. Now, of course, we had the famous 1941, Hugh Casey threw a spitball, who knows what else, but Owen missed the play, and Henrik got to first base, and the Yankees scored six runs and ended up, instead of losing the World Series Game 4, they won it and eventually won the World Series. But that scenario where the ball's in the dirt, and all of a sudden the catcher's got to make a throw somewhere. Sometimes they throw to the wrong base.
Right, exactly. We've got to play like that. And I think Frankie Frisch defended his catcher the next day in the newspaper because everyone was saying, what did the catcher do throwing to third? You had the runner stealing. But, of course, he should have thrown to first to get the third out or even just tagged the batter. but the catcher didn't know it was a strike. And then, of course, you get a few other, quite a few plays which end on, or don't end, I should say, on a strike three. But we have some plays where a fake intentional walk turns into a strike three. And, yeah, there's no shortage of just wild, wild stuff.
I love it. I love it. How about the play last year with the Pirates' first baseman?
Oh, my goodness.
All he had to do was throw to first to get it out, and he tried to tag the guy. It was Javier Baez.
You remember the play, and he chases him to home plate.
Come on. All he had to do was throw to first.
This is the Pirates for you, right?
Yeah.
You know, the book had already been written, so I couldn't add that play. But that's the amazing thing about baseball. It will just keep adding to this list. And if I want to in 10 years, I can do another edition with probably another 100 plays.
Right, that'll be the sequel. Baseball's most bizarre plays. As you could tell, it's a lot of fun. Who is the book aimed towards? Who is your ideal reader for a book like this?
Oh, well, thank you for asking. I would say, any serious baseball fan, but particularly those who like reading a Bill James. And, you know, people think of James as a numbers guy. And to me, he's that, of course, but no one is better at unearthing the quirky stuff in baseball history. And I like to think of this as a book which is really a huge feast for someone who likes quirky baseball. And I'll just give you another example that I just can't help. There are teams with these great collections of names. And you'll probably remember being from the Bay Area, the 1983 A's had Vita Blue, Bud Black, Frank White, and just an exclamation point on it, Daryl Motley. You know, a really colorful bunch. But something I've never heard mentioned is the New York Mets in the 1980s were the ice cream team with Daryl Strawberry, David Cohn, and Howard Johnson. And, you know, that one, in real time, I love that. I grew up in New York and watched that team. But there was one in the course of researching the book, I hadn't realized that the Phillies of the early 1960s had Bobby Wine and John Boozer, and for good measure, Peanuts Lowry and Cookie Rojas, in case you want a snack with your drink.
I love it. I love it. Very good. Boy, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. The book is fun, Alan. You did a good job with it. I'm looking forward to the sequel. And you're right. Every day we see something different at the ballpark. So congratulations on a nice book. I appreciate you being on. And we'll absolutely keep in touch with you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Marty.
All right, that is Alan Hirsch, Baseball's Most Bizarre Plays, and it goes on and on. It's a good one. It's a good one. All right, more coming up. KMBR 680, 104.5, the sports leader.